In the name of the risen one who raises us from the dead, Jesus Christ. Amen. I stood in a receiving line last Easter Sunday at the parish I was serving. I was shaking hands with people, and one gentleman stopped me because he wanted to ask me a question. I only remember seeing this man on Easter Sundays with his family over the years that I served. And he said, "Pastor, the service is exquisite. The flowers, the hymns, the music, the joy. But I'm wondering about one thing." "Sure, what is it?" I asked him. He said, "You know, every time I come to church, I hear the same story." The story he's talking about is the one told on Easter Sunday every year. It's a story of hope, of undying love, of life. It cannot be helped but be told over and over again around the world every single Easter. It's the story of resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's been 3 days after a horrifying death. The stone to the tomb is unsealed and rolled away, and still in the darkness, a friend of Jesus is waiting there. A woman. She is very dismayed. How could things have fallen apart even more than they already have? First, she sees her friend, her Lord, her teacher, wrongfully convicted, then brutally executed. Mary's been standing at the edge of all there is, and all she can see in front of her is an abyss. I imagine she'd been holding vigil for hours that were turning into days. In the cold damp of the night at that tomb, crying angry, heavy tears. And perhaps the night before, worn out from grief, she'd finally taken a few hours to go home that Saturday evening and rest. And here it was, still dark on Sunday morning, and she'd risen from her rest to return. And the tomb was empty. The chasm created by Jesus' death was only deepened. Now his body was absent. And so she ran to Simon Peter and the other disciples. She needed to tell someone. How could it get any worse than it already was? And so the two men run to the empty tomb, and they look in and confirm it. His body's gone. The garments of death, linen wrappings lying there, and then there's that garment that covered Jesus' head. It's not just lying there. Someone's neatly rolled it up like it's supposed to be there that way. The men run home. We don't know where they ran to. We don't know if they were afraid. We don't know what was going on in their hearts. We just know that they ran home. But Mary just remains there, weeping and waiting. What do we do next? I was at a dinner party a couple of weeks ago at the home of a couple who collects contemporary art. Interesting, compelling pieces filled their home. But there was one in particular that caught my eye in their kitchen. It was a photograph of a road on a coastal cliff. And the road, kind of like the Columbia Parkway, had collapsed and crumbled. Only here, it crumbled right where the yellow line led the traveler forward. And what was so compelling about this piece was that the yellow line, the line that carries us forward when we're on the road, it continued on the jagged edges, right down the cliff, that yellow line. My husband and I were looking at the piece together, thinking about it, thinking about this yellow line and the destruction and how it continued on. We looked at each other, and we both said at the exact same time, "The road continues." Jesus' crucifixion and death signifies the worst of all outcomes, the overtaking of the path by forces of evil and wickedness, the decimation of a clear and steady and safe way. We, like Mary, know the real times when darkness and grief, sadness, uncertainty, and regret can overcome us. For Mary, the body of Jesus in that tomb, that was all she had left. The road had crumbled, and it was there at the edge of Jerusalem in that cold and dark night that she'd at least found a place to lament. All Mary could see was the chasm beyond the broken road. The way forward was unclear. The edge of the road, whatever it might be for us, may seem like the worst thing, like certain death, like failure. Well, here's what Frederick Buechner wrote about the worst thing. "The worst isn't the last thing in the world. It's the next to last thing. The last thing is the best. It's the power from on high that comes down into the world, that wells from the rock bottom worst of the world, like a hidden spring. Can you believe it? The last, best thing is the laughing deep in the hearts of the saints. Sometimes our hearts even. Yes, you are terribly loved and forgiven. Yes, you are healed. All is well. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ compels us to the edge of all of life, in the face of death. And for Mary, this edge seemed so cold and so final. So Mary goes back to the tomb and looks in again. This time, there are two angels there. And they simply ask her, "Why are you weeping?" And there's a man standing there, earth under his fingers, fingernails. He asks her also, "Why are you weeping?" She supposes him to be a gardener and proceeds to tell him what has happened there at the edge of the universe. And then all he has to do is speak her name, Mary. The worst is not the last thing. She speaks to him in Hebrew. It's their heart language in recognition. Rabboni. The overwhelming relief, the joy, he is alive. So overwhelmed is she in this moment, she clings to him. "Jesus, look at the reality around us. Look at all that's happened. What happened to you? Look at the road. Look at the ruins. and his speaking of her name signals to her. The rogue continues, "Do not hold on to me. I have more work to do, and so do you. And it's there at the edge of the earth, at the ruins of her perceived reality, that Jesus compels her. Jesus shows her the yellow line straight down the cliff where the road continues. And at that edge, we discover that God's resurrected Son not only knows and loves what's bright and what's cheery and joyful about us, but he knows all of us. Jesus meets us at the edge, between the dark and the day of our souls. God's Son entered into it all, knew it all, knows it all, came to the edge and willingly succumbed to it. Because he knew the worst is not the last thing. And it's on this day, in the same story we hear year after year, that we're reminded that Jesus meets us at our edge while we're still in the dark, and reminds us that this road continues down paths we never would have asked for, down paths we hardly could have imagined. And so we come to the empty tomb once again this Easter and celebrate life beyond the edge. French poet Guillaume Apollinaire famously wrote, "Come to the edge," he said. "We can't. We are afraid," they responded. "Come to the edge," he said. "We can't. We will fall," they responded. "Come to the edge," he said. And so they came, and he pushed them, and they flew. This Easter day, by the power of the resurrection, our road continues, and we come to the edge where our despair descends, and as we encounter the one who promises he will ascend, we fly. In the name of the risen one, amen.